What great employees desire in a career has changed, and the employers who desire to attract and keep top team members should pay attention to these changes. And here's the good news. Most of the changes are simple and can be very cost-effective to implement. And many only require a change of perspective, a change of thinking, and a change in some of the SOPs. And even the changes that will require a financial investment are still a fraction of what retraining and rehiring is costing companies today. So if you're ready to take a peek at these six changes to start retaining and attracting the best of the best employees, let's jump into today's show. We've got a lot to cover. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed. And as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. So in their book, It's the Manager, Moving from Boss to Coach, Jim Clifton and Jim Harder give credit to the millennials and Gen Z for bringing about these changes that we're going to uncover over the next three episodes. But I have to say, as a 50-plus Gen Xer, I think these changes have been a long time coming. It just took a pandemic and two very vocal generations to bring it to a head. Here's the thing, for those of us who have an entrepreneurial spirit, we created our company so that we could have the six elements we're talking about in our lives. And today's workforces are starting to mimic and combine the best of both worlds. They want the security of a paycheck with some of the perks of being an entrepreneur. And whether you believe it's a generational movement or a movement that has been a long time coming, in my opinion, it's a much needed movement. Because here's the thing, here is what's going on in the world today. And you know most of this, but I'm going to give you the hard facts, the stats from Gallup. So number one, Gallup estimates that voluntary turnover costs in U.S. organizations is $1.1 trillion annually. Number two, Gallup estimates that about half of turnover is voluntary, and most voluntary departures could be prevented. Number three, more than half of exiting employees say that in the 3 months before they left, neither their manager nor any other leader spoke with them about their job satisfaction or future with the organization. Number four, employees whose manager is always willing to listen to their work-related problems are 62% less likely to be burned out. And number five, nearly half of leavers, 49% to be exact, do not have a meaningful performance conversation with their supervisor in the 3 months before leaving their job. So this great resignation, this place of a lot of team members leaving your companies could be prevented. It takes just little tweaks, little changes. And as I shared already, a lot of these are simple, but they're not always easy changes to implement. And first, you just have to be aware of them. So we're going to break down the six key changes, or Gallup says the six demands of today's workforce, over the next three episodes. Today, I'm going to give you number one and number two changes that they're looking for. And then we'll do two next week and two the following episode. Now, if you're curious and you want to hear all six at one time, you can go back to episode 2 of season 3. It was Keep Your Team Happy and Productive with These Six Key Changes. in that episode of the podcast, I did share all six of them. It's just a quick overview of them in that episode. So if you're curious to learn them all, go ahead and go back and listen to that episode. But over the series that we're doing now, we are going to break them down even deeper. And I hope to give you some real tangible takeaways that you can start implementing into your company. Think of this as making this your 2022 strategy. So what are the six key changes to retain and attract great employees? Well, the first one is they are looking for a purpose over a paycheck. Here's the facts, and I hope it's okay with you, but I'm going to be throwing a lot of stats and a lot of facts at you because I want you to understand that this is just not my opinion. It's just not Gallup's opinion, even though I'm using a lot of Gallup's stats. These are things that have been proven out there, and we need to make some changes. So from this article on Gallup's site, and I'll share more details, I'll share links in the show notes, or you can go to my website and find all the links after the show. But here's the thing. The study on pay. A lot of people still think that in order to attract the best of the best, it's all about the paycheck. It's all about the salary. And it's so not today. Here's what Gallup found in a study on pay. Number one, an open, encouraging conversation about pay philosophies, policies, and methods for determining pay is more important than the actual amount of base pay when it comes to helping employees feel satisfied with their compensation. So just having an open, an honest conversation keeps your employees happy. Crazy, right? Number two, income can increase happiness and emotional well-being. But that being said, daily feelings of positive emotions tend to level off for people who make an annual income of $75,000 or higher. Basically, what they're saying is once you hit $75,000 or higher, the increase in happiness doesn't necessarily change. The third thing Gallup found was only 21% of employees strongly agree that their pay and incentives motivate them to achieve individually. Number four, just 22% of employees strongly agree that their pay and incentives motivate them to do what is best for their organization. And the last stat I'm going to share with you from Gallup says employees often mention pay as a top reason for considering leaving, but it's not the strongest predictor of their actual decision to leave. Usually, the strongest predictors of turnover can be traced back to poor management and culture, followed by fit to role and bad teammates. So as you can see, salary is not the number one thing that great team members are looking for. Now, yes, everyone wants a fair wage that allows them to live a great life. That we learned in basic psychology class when we studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Without our basic needs being met, we can't move to the next level of greatness. So we're not talking about not even giving a fair wage. You have to provide a fair and equal pay according to the job, according to the results they perform. So we're taking that out of the equation here. So once you have that fair and equal pay, you can move into what people really are looking for today. And that's they want a job with a purpose. They want to feel like what they do matters, and they want to feel like the company they work for makes a difference in their community and in the world. And I want to share with you a parable that I absolutely love, and it's about perspective and just thinking of the way we think about how we do our work and what it means to us. And you may have heard this parable before. It's been around a long time. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a great story nonetheless. So it's the story of three bricklayers, And supposedly this happened after the Great Fire of 1666 that leveled London. And the world's most famous architect at the time, Christopher Wren, was commissioned to rebuild St. Paul's Cathedral. So one day in 1671, Christopher Wren observed three bricklayers on scaffolding. One was crouched over, one was half standing, and one was standing tall, working very hard and fast. And to the first bricklayer, Christopher Wren asked him, "What are you doing?" And this bricklayer replied, "I'm a bricklayer. I'm working hard laying bricks so I can feed my family." When he asked the second bricklayer the same question, he responded, "I'm a builder. I'm building a wall." But when he approached the third bricklayer, the one who was the most productive of the three and the future leader of the group, and he asked him, "What are you doing?" He replied, this bricklayer replied with a gleam in his eye, and he said, "I'm a cathedral builder. I'm building a great cathedral to the Almighty." They were all doing the same work, but they had a different perspective. They all looked at the same job with different meaning behind it. And the last bricklayer, again, the most productive one, saw that his job was tied to something so much bigger. He saw the mission behind his day-to-day work. That's what your employees want today. They want to feel connected to the organization's mission, vision, values, and goals. And when they are connected, they're happier, they're more engaged, and they're more productive employees. So how can you make sure this is happening? Do your employees even know what your vision and mission is of your company? Do they know why they matter to the company? Do they know why they're showing up and laying bricks every day? So this is one that just may take some time. And maybe you have a mission statement on a board someplace. Maybe you think you've shared the vision. But I would challenge you to go around and ask the employees randomly, what do you think the vision and mission of our company is? And see how many of them really know. Make it visible. Make it prominent. Make it count. Have them get involved with getting behind the mission and vision of the company. And make sure that you're showing up in your community to make a difference, not just at what you do every day in your company, but how you can provide more for the community. That's what top team members are looking for today. All right, before we go on to the second thing top team members are looking for, I want to pause here and kind of throw in a little sponsorship commercial. And it's from me, from Sherry Miter Co., because I have a big announcement to make. I am proud to say I am now certified to bring Ida Grow's high-performing teams program to my clients. Ida Grow, and HPT as we call the high-performing teams program, is an award-winning platform and its approach that truly turns talents to strengths and transforms behaviors efficiently to create thriving environments. And working with individuals and teams to bring lasting desired changes in big or small organizations to help them be the world-class champions they desire to be. The Eat to Grow program is very prevalent in UK, where companies like Irish Distillers in Ireland, the makers of Jameson whiskey, hello to them. They've incorporated the HPT program and more from Eat to Grow and saw tremendous results. And I'm proud to add Eat to Grow's certification and programs to my arsenal for making organizations thrive. Now, this program might be for you if you just feel like your team just isn't delivering. Maybe you find that you're getting a lot of people calling in sick and saying that they're stressed and burnt out all the time. Maybe your sales figures aren't what you wanted them to be this year. Maybe you feel like team morale is weak, or things just simply are not done and you feel like you can't rely on your team. Maybe you've been bogged down with way too many meetings that aren't useful. Maybe they're just lasting way too long and you can't sleep at night because these facts are keeping you awake. If that's you, make sure you listen up here, because I want to take you through the journey of changing your leadership and team dynamics for good. And this program will unleash the potential of your team and create self-aligning, strengths-focused, and agile team that ritually calibrates their behaviors and attitudes through new habits. This is the big difference of HBT versus just having that workshop. It'll help build communication that creates trust, hope, and compassion. It provides stability to your team and helps them engage, helps you engage with every individual in the right way, right away. So if that sounds good, let's talk about the lasting change you want to achieve and how I can help you achieve that with the HBT High Performing Teams program. So if you'd love to learn more, just shoot me an email today and we can schedule a call to see if this is the right program for you moving into the new year. Okay, let's jump back to the show and dive into the second change that great team members are looking for today. And today they are moving away from just that job satisfaction to they want to pursue development. And I love this one. I have learner high in my top 10. So I'm always about professional and personal development. I don't think we can get enough of that. And I'm so glad that that is the movement of today's workforce. You know, job satisfaction used to be when a company would provide the latte bars, the fancy offices, you know, the different parties or maybe the gym. But today's workforce, that's not really what they're looking for anymore. They want more professional and personal development. Development that's going to be longer lasting results for them and the company than just that latte bar. Now, before I dive deeper into this personal development movement, I want to make sure we understand the difference between training and professional development. Because a lot of companies are providing training and they think they check that box, but training is usually more skills-based. And a lot of times it's just required for the employee to be able to do their job effectively. They have to be trained on how to do it. Versus professional and personal development is about the future and growth of the company and the person. And one of the reasons why I see that a lot of companies are scared to do and start implement, I shouldn't say they're scared to implement it, but why they hesitate to implement a professional development program is they're scared that the best employees are going to leave, that they're going to invest time and money into a person and help them become a better leader, help them become a better communicator, help them get all these skills. And then that person's going to turn around and get a promotion or leave the company and take on a new job outside of the company. And you know what? That's a big possibility. And for some of you, it may be a probability. But it's an investment that I think is worth making. And it's an investment that's worth the risk of losing that person, because here's the other side of that. Investing in employees' growth can help boost retention. So according to a recent LinkedIn study, 94% of employees would stay at a company longer if it invested in their career development. So you have a bigger chance of somebody leaving your company because you're not investing in them than you do if you invest in somebody and then they choose to go to a different company. So I hope that makes sense to you. And I hope you see the value of making this a priority. Of all six of the things we're talking about over the next three sessions, I really feel like this is the most important and can make the biggest impact on your team and on your bottom line. Now, according to Monster.com, millennials want career development opportunities. A full 87% of millennials say professional development or career growth opportunities are very important to them in a job. Millennials believe they can achieve anything with the right opportunities and access to learning and development, says business consultant Peter Stark. He goes on to say, however, less than 2% of millennials feel that they have an employer or a supervisor who encourages their professional growth, which creates a real opportunity for leaders to fill the gap. So think about that for a bit. 94% of employees would stay at a company if that company invested in their learning and their development. But only 2% of millennials feel like their employer is doing that. Like, okay, here's a huge opportunity for you. These studies go on to say that the interest in learning and develop is particularly strong among younger workers. LinkedIn's research found that roughly a quarter of Gen Z and millennials say learning is the number one thing that makes them happy at work. And over a quarter, 27%, say the number one reason they leave their company is because they did not have the opportunity to learn and grow. The number one reason that they're leaving their company, they didn't have an opportunity to learn and grow. What kind of things are they looking for? They're looking for just soft skills. That's a huge one today. That's like leadership training, communication, collaboration, relationship building. These can be applied to any role. And they're also looking for opportunities to be more creative and to enhance their skills personally and professionally. So I hope by now you are hearing this loud and clear that this is so, so vital for the growth of your company. This is the number one thing that the millennials and Gen Zs, the largest part of the workforce today, are looking for in a company. So I'm going to switch gears here a little bit as we continue to talk about that professional development programs and why they're so vital for your business. And I want to talk to you a little bit about setting a budget for development, because obviously we know it's important. And I realize some of you, this, you may have already done this, but if you haven't put this into your budget for the year, I would strongly urge you to go back and revisit your budget and see where you can make some changes to put this in. And I found on American Express website some 4 methods for budgeting and how to kind of figure out, well, how much should I budget for professional development for my employees? So I was going to share those with you so you can start thinking ahead to how much money should you be investing and where it might come from and how to then implement it into your company. So the number one method is to set a total budget based on total salary. And they say a good rule of thumb is that companies should spend anywhere from 1 to 5% of their total salary costs on training. And that would be dependent on how much they want to emphasize training in their organization. Now, as we just heard, I think it's pretty important to emphasize training in your organization. So to me, it's a non-negotiable. It's just a matter of how much is your budget. You need a budget. How much is it? So 1% to 5% is their rule of thumb of the total salary. So for instance, let's say your annual payroll is $500,000 and you decide you're going to put 2% aside for professional development. That would mean $10,000 should be allocated toward training. Now, this is a great number to work with if you are a smaller business. Maybe perhaps you're a distillery or a microbrew company and you have, you know, 50 or less employers. So you can look at that whole employee. So you can look at your whole salary budget. Take your percentage and that's how much you're going to allocate. I'm going to pause here too. So if you are a leader or an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, I know we have some of you listening to the show. Maybe you don't have a staff yet. You don't have a team. I would suggest you do the same thing. Look at a percentage, whether it's 1 or 5 or even 10% of your salary or the salary you want this year, and create your own professional development budget. Okay. Method number two, and this one's great if you maybe are a larger company, maybe you're a larger insurance company or an energy company, and maybe you're just looking to invest in your top managers, your leadership team. So the second way that American Express suggests you set a, you create a budget is to set individual training budgets based on individual salaries. So instead of looking at the entire company, you're going to look and allocate an amount equal to anywhere from, again, 1% to 5% of a specific staff member's yearly salary towards training for that person or that position. So for instance, if you have an assistant manager and maybe their annual salary is $40,000, then you would have $2,000. Let's say you wanted to choose 5%. $2,000 would be earmarked towards that person's training and courses for the year. So again, that's a really great option. Either if you only have a small business with maybe 10 or less, or again, you're a larger company and maybe you only want to invest in your managers and leadership team. So that method number two, again, was setting aside an individual training budget based on individual salaries. The method number three they suggest is use an industry standard training budget. So look around your industry. What are others paying? What are others setting aside for a budget? Maybe that might take some phone calls with other CEOs or leaders or HR departments and find out what do they allocate for their professional development budget. That might work for educational companies or schools, service-based companies. Just find out what's your industry standard and create that. Method number four is plan ahead to budget for aspirational certifications and trainings. So this would be maybe your local chamber. I know one of our local chambers has what's called the Leadership Institute. It's a year-long program. And I noticed that when I attended this a few years ago, that there were some companies that every year they sent one or two employees. So they had a budget set aside specifically for the Leadership Institute program, where they would send one or two employees. So you might have a budget set aside for specific certifications for some of your employees. So professional development obviously comes in all shapes, sizes, and methods in the profit and nonprofit sector. And training and professional development budgets of organizations pulled by the nonprofit times range from as little as $10,000 to more than $1 million. That, of course, depends on the size of the organization. And a lot of the nonprofit organizations get their training budgets from donors and grants. So look outside of your just what you're making is, are there other ways that can pay for the professional development programs? So as you are creating that budget, remember what LinkedIn found was that 94% of employees would stay at a company longer if it invested in their careers. So the employee you keep is less expensive than the new employee you must bring up to speed. Isn't it worth it to increase your professional development program's budget? What is it costing you not to have a budget set aside for that in your company? Just something to think about. So next week, we are going to cover two more of the reasons why and what people are looking for in today's workforce environments, what the demands are, what they're desiring. We're going to be looking at why being a boss and holding annual reviews is antiquated. And it just, these two thought processes, when I was jotting down notes for them, it kind of reminded me of the Progressive commercials, the ones about becoming your parents. And I'm kind of thinking of this one as don't become your boss. Because the way your boss or mentor did things may not be working anymore. There's a good chance that's not. So like the progressive commercials of not becoming your parents, we're going to talk next week about how not to become your boss. All right, my friends, I know this was a lot today. I threw a lot of stats at you. And let me know, I'm curious, do you enjoy that when I give you stats and numbers? Or would you just rather me give examples? Like, shoot me an email, let me know on that. Always looking for ways to improve the podcast and give you more of what you're looking for. If, on the other hand, or if you just found this show valuable, maybe you know somebody who runs a small company and they're struggling with keeping great employees or finding the best employees, share this episode with them. And of course, if you enjoyed the show and you find value in it, besides sharing it, could you do me a huge favor? Go in, rate and review it, post it on your social media, and just help us grow the show so that more companies can find value in the tips that we're sharing here on the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. And of course, if you are curious to learn more about the High Performing Teams program and see whether or not it is a right fit for your team in 2022, I would love to chat with you. You can shoot me an email or schedule a call and we can get on the phone to talk about it. So as always, thanks for listening to the show and go out and make the best of today. Remember, life is short, so we have to enjoy the journey. Thanks as always for being a listener. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.